2 Chronicles chapter 34, and some things I don't have a gift at, but I can preach fast. The problem is, can you keep up with that? 2 Chronicles chapter 34, and if you'll stand in honor of reading the Word of God, I was trying to think if I could cut my scripture short to save time, but I feel like I need to read this fairly sized portion, 2 Chronicles chapter 34, and we'll begin reading in verse 18. So you'll hear a few pages turning. The Bible says in verse 18, "Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, and Abdon the son of Micah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah the servant of the king, saying, Go inquire of the Lord for me, and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah, concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord, and do after that is written in this book. And Hilkiah and they that the king had appointed went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikvath, the son of Hazra, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they spake to her to that effect. And she answered them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Tell ye the man that sent you to me, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will bring evil upon this place, and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the curses that are written in the book which they have read before the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be poured out upon this place and shall not be quenched. And as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall ye say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, concerning the words which thou hast heard. Because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest his words against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes, and weep before me, I've even heard thee also, saith the Lord. Behold, I will gather thee into thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place and upon the inhabitants of the same. So they brought the king word again. Then the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the priests and the Levites and all the people, great and small. And he read in their ears the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart, with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. And he caused all that were present at Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. And Josiah took away all the abominations out of the countries that pertained to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the good testimonies that we've heard tonight. The choir singing, Lord, they've blessed my heart. And these Paquette children, Lord, one more time have stirred me in these songs. And I praise you for the good songs that we've heard. And Lord, as we're just this time, and people have said a long time, Lord, I don't be sensitive to the time, but yet, Lord, I want to be obedient to you and sensitive to the Spirit of God. And Lord, I pray you'd just help me to give this thought that you put on my heart to be a help to these people and move in their lives. God, you direct this service, you guide this service, and Lord, help us to be submitted and obedient to you. And we'll praise you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. What's going on in this scripture is Josiah had taken the throne and revival had begun to break out in Judah. He was reforming, doing away with all the idols, and as they were going into the house of God, as odd as it may seem, they found the Word of God. I mean, somewhere back, Manasseh or Manasseh's son had taken that Word of God and just put it on the back burners, put it in the back room, and they'd failed to use the Word of God. And they'd found this, and they read the Word of God to King Josiah, and in turn he realized that there were some things that God was going to do to his people because how they had responded to the Word of God. And in his move, he sent word to this priest asking what they should do. And man, God's judgment was not lifted. We saw in verse 25 that God was going to carry out the judgments that he had written in the book. And what interests me is Josiah's reaction to what God God said he would do. Now I realize he knew that judgment was coming. He knew that he was going to go to his grave in peace, but regardless of anything that he did in his lifetime, the judgment of God was going to fall on his people after he was gone. Now, it's amazing that Josiah could respond as he did here. He just went on and kept on carrying on for God in this time. A New Testament instance of this would be obviously in 2 Timothy chapter 3. As Paul stood, he told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:1, said, "This my son, know also in the last days that perilous times shall come." And then through those next 13 verses, he gives a reference of a sign for the end. Now, I don't know if you realize this, but if you read those verses, it's obvious that we're living in the last days. Jesus is coming. Also, when you look, you think of this nation, you think of the immorality, you think of the idolatry, you think of how we've forsaken the Word of God, you think of the blood of little babies that have flown in the sewers and just thrown away, and look what is coming down the pipe to this country. Hey, God's judgment does not always operate fast, but the wheels of God's judgment do always turn. And I'm going to tell you, there's something that we can't reverse. God is going to judge this country, and God is going to judge this world. I don't know whatever it's going to start in my lifetime. I hope it all Jesus comes and the world can have it in the tribulation, but it may not be that way. But you know, when you think about that, you get this mentality in your mind that what's going to happen will happen. What difference can I make? We call that apathy. What do you do facing apathy as the end nears? When in 2 Timothy chapter 3, as I gave you those texts a while ago, Paul looked at Timothy and he wrote to him about all these things were going on. And Paul gave Timothy a word for such a time as this. And I'm going to give that word to you. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, after all these signs of the end, after all these signs of the second coming, he told Timothy this one thing, but continue thou. And so my word for you tonight, in spite of these, to ward off the apathy that may come in your life, knowing what's coming down the pipe, and I may sound like a prophet of doom to you tonight, but I'm just being honest with you, because sometimes this mentality fills our mind and fills our lives. But like Josiah, he did in these scriptures by not departing. It said, all the days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. I want you to think of this tonight in looking eternity in the face as apathy falls on you as the end draws near. Here's your word, some things that you need to continue in. Number one, you need to continue in the Word of God. When we look at our text, we read how Josiah, the first thing he did, he got everybody together and he read the Word of God to these people. Paul told Timothy, he said, continue in the things that you've been taught. He quoted, he gave them those great verses of the inspiration of the Scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 3, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And these days, continue in the Word of God. Continue being confident in the Word of God. He told Timothy, he knowing of whom you've learned these things. I'm glad, thank God, this Word is our anchor. It's our steadfastness in this life. I know that what I told you about in the introduction is a lot of gloom, but thank God it's not all gloom. I'm glad there's glory in the Word of God. But in the midst of these glooming and apostate and apathetic times, I'm glad that we have an anchor. I'm glad that we have a fixed point of reference to live in this life. And I encourage you to continue to be confident in the Word of God. Then also, I want you to know, to continue in the Word, continue to be conformed to the Word of God. In these verses, he said they were going to keep the commandments and his testimonies and his statutes. He said, we are going to keep the Word of God. We're going to take this Word, whether it hurts us or whether it helps us, we are going to keep and we are going to obey the Word of God. I want to admonish you tonight in these days that we live to heed and to honor and conform, obey the
the Word of God. But to obey the Word of God, you need a hint of familiarity with it. To be conformed to it, you need to know what the Bible says. See, they didn't know what the Bible says. That was the whole mess they had gotten into when they came to this point. They had lost track. A generation had passed and didn't know what the Bible said. But you need to know what it says. It's interesting. Early in this chapter, when they found that Word of God, in verse 15, he says, I found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. You need to have the Word of God. And I don't mean to be mean or ugly. I know many people have more than one Bible in their house. But man, there's a bunch of them that just set up and take roots over here in this piano pit over here. And I want to encourage you, have the Word of God. Teach your children to carry the Word of God to the house of God. Carry it with you. This needs not just to be a possession that you own, but it needs to be a part of your life. Have the Word of God. But also, you don't need just to have it, but you need to hear the Word of God. In verse 13, he said he read it before the king. You need every dose of the Bible you can get. You need it every day at home. You need it in Sunday school. You need it in Sunday morning preaching, Sunday night preaching, Wednesday night. Everything you can slide in, if it's on the radio or revival meet, you need a regular diet of the Word of God. What's destroying our land and what's destroying our churches, let false doctrine creep in, and how we become so shallow and faithless is a lack of the Word of God. And I want to encourage you to be confident in the Word and conform to the Word of God. Heed the Word of God to do after all that is written in the book. Obey the Word of God. God said it, and that settles it whether you believe it or like it. Obey the Word of God. You look at this scripture and obedience the same way you tell your children when you tell them to do something. Because I said so. Why? Because God said so. Continue in these days, but not only continue in the Word, but continue in worship. Verse 33 says, Josiah took away all the abominations that were in the land. Those abominations were idols and groves where people could worship other gods. I want to encourage you. I better get that watch. I'm going to need it. But I want to encourage you to continue in the worship of the Lord. I mean, think about this. They took all that away and worshiped God only. What kind of worship we need to continue in? I want to encourage you to continue in authentic worship. Worship God. Worship God. It's always appropriate and it's always right to worship the Lord. It's one thing what you say to men about God, but I'm talking about what you say to God about God. How do you feel about God? Worshiping and praising Him. Continue. Hey, the world's not worshiping God. Hollywood's not worshiping God. There's a form of godliness and there's a form of worship, but it's not worship. I'm talking about people that will worship God in spirit and in truth, authentic worship, but not just authentic worship, but active worship. Hebrews 13:15. He says, by Him therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. We need to praise Him actively. I was thinking about the choir, and even as I watched Eric and Brother Jonathan stand here and these children, you know what we learned? We learned to open our mouth in public and in front of people and to do it loud and to do it emphatically and express your soul. If you're happy about something, you don't say I'm happy. You say I'm happy. And man, if you worship and praise God, it'll change the way you sing. It'll change the way you testify. What about me? Be about me being shy or me being humble or untalented. I'm going to praise God. It doesn't matter what people think. I'm going to worship and I'm going to be active in worshiping the Lord. And I encourage you to do that. Who has that responsibility? Everything that hath breath, let him praise the Lord. And I encourage you to praise the Lord. But you know something? The very fact that this judgment's hanging over this country, it's motivation enough that we're to worship and praise Him because He's the holy God that He says He is. His holiness demands our worship. But then, not only continue in the Word and continue in the worship, but I want to admonish you to continue in the witness. He said in verse 33 one more time, he said, and made them that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. Continue in the witness. He led others to serve the Lord. Now, I want to tell you something. I want people to get saved because I don't want to go to hell. God said He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He sent His Son so they could have everlasting life. So that's motivation to witness to people. But you know what? God wants to save people to be their Lord. so that they might serve Him. And God encourages us. We're admonished in the Word to witness. He told the disciples in Acts 1, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth." You know, there's places especially that we need to be witnesses. We need to be witnesses, number one, in the family. You know, in verse 30, when they brought all those people before Josiah to hear the word, they brought the great and the small. They brought everybody. We need to be witnesses to our family and in our homes. You know why these children could stand and sing over here like they did? You know why they carry on that heritage? Because there was witness given to them about that heritage. I was thinking a while ago, and I'm not bragging on me. I thank God for my boys. I thank God that they profess to know the Lord and show some signs of life in the Lord. But you know, when I started witnessing to my boys, I started when they were babies. I've always told them about the Lord. I've always told them there's one way to be saved. I've always told them they need to live right. And I've tried to show them that. I tried to witness it to my boys in my home, and we need to witness that in our houses. They're not going to know if mom and daddy don't tell them. They're not going to tell them at the school. They're not going to teach it that on Nickelodeon and Disney TV. Mamas and daddies, we've got to be the ones to give witness. Continue in that witness to your children and to your family. You reach the family for the cause of Christ, but we need to be that witness to our friends. Tell them. Somebody's got to tell them. Tell your friends, but we need to tell the foreigners. We have people here that have been on the mission field of missionaries now. We're told, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. You know something? I'll say about this, a goodly heritage. I was born into a preacher's home. God took my dad when I was young, but man, he's been around these great men of God, Percy Ray and Ed Backaby and Mac Hodge and others. The Rollins probably be familiar with some of these. And he'd been around these. I mean, three generations of my family have disrupted Ed McAbee's meetings, either shouting or crying. I've been on both ends of it, amen? And I have that heritage. I talked to my mama on the phone, and she told me this morning about the time I got into the pulpit, she was praying for me. That wasn't vain words. My mama prays. My mama is a godly woman. I have that godly heritage, and I can't imagine having never heard that there's a God. I can't imagine having never learned John 3:16. Man, I heard statistics Thursday night of people in this country, not just other countries, as Brother Jonathan mentioned, but that have lived their entire lives and never one time hearing a clear presentation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know how often people die? Every second somebody's dying. Every second hell's being populated with new people, and we need to continue in the witness. Hey, little boys and girls in this county have never been to Sunday school. I picked up a little boy in my neighborhood one day, a friend of Levi's, and I brought him to church, and his little brother asked where we were going. He said, "We're going to Sunday school." He said, "What's Sunday school?" Keep the witness alive. Keep telling the story. You know, I was thinking, you know, I pray, Lord, help me to be a witness. God kind of nudged my heart the other day. I'm not praying that anymore. I'm going to start praying, Lord, I want to see people saved. Whether I do it, I want to see them walk the aisles at Gateway. I want to see them bow their heads and give their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, God will give you what you ask for. You ought to be a witness, but let's just go a little far. Hey, let's ask God for just a little bit more. Wouldn't you like to see people saved and come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Not for a number. I was looking at Jason over here this morning. You know what? And I was listening to him praying. How just smooth is what I thought, man, he just sounds good up there praying. Just sounds so eloquent. But you know what? He was lost one day. He was a sinner one day. God had to save him and change him and work that in his heart. Hey, you've not always been a saint of God. You've not always been refined. You haven't always worn a suit to church. You haven't always been the super saint you are. But God saved you and delivered you. I want to see Him do it to somebody else. You walk down the aisle a blackened sinner and God saved you. God's still in the saving business. The church is still in business. What a blessing it'd be one more time. See, these altars get fertile and watered with the saints' tears, and sinners weep their way to Jesus. And not just make a profession, brother, but get in there and serve God. Hey, I'd like to see some missionaries surrender to God again. I'd like to see some young men surrender to preach with the fire of God on them. Hey, continue in the witness. Continue in the witness. The last thing I want to mention, we'll be done. I know, preach fast. Somebody gave me a word of advice about preaching this morning. They said, breathe. I'll stop and do that right now. The last thing I want to put in, this just doesn't directly come from our scripture like our other points did, but continue in the watching. Everything that I've said tonight has been centered about the end. What is it that starts the end for us? When we talk about the last days, what are we looking at? We're looking at the fact that Jesus is coming again. We sang in the choir tonight songs about the second coming. Man, it stirred my soul. It's moving time. I'm ready to go. Hey, Paul admonished Titus. He said, looking unto Jesus, looking for that blessed hope, the reappearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He left the promise. I mean, just as he gave that promise about being empowered with and do with power from on high, just below that, he ascended up into the heavens, and those angels said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into the heavens? For this same Jesus, if you've seen go up in like manner as he's going up, he'll come again." And see, that promise is not left. See, the last day said there'd be scoffers that say, where is the promise of his return? It's right here where it was to begin with. It's in the Word of God that we take our confidence in. And I want to remind you, we don't have time to wait. You don't have time to think about this and procrastinate. Should I? Should I not? I want to encourage you to go on with God. You know, in verse 31, Hezekiah, he stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord. Now see, this echoes words in my heart. This covenant thing is the thing that changed my life. And you know what some of you need to do tonight? You think about it, you get stirred sometimes. We heard that message on Thursday night and we listened to what the preacher said and we're stirred up. Where's that message today? Some of you just need to stop and say, you know what, it's about time I make God some promises. It's time I make some covenants with God. It'd just do you good to find you a spot, get on your face, say, God, I just want to make a covenant with you that I am going to continue regardless of where this world comes. Because I'm going to tell you what, if you practice now, when the adversity and the opposition arises, it won't be such a big thing for you to stand. Because, hey, if you don't stand now, when the waters rise and the horsemen come, you'll not stand then. And I have a great fear. It's not about having to die. It's not about having to suffer, which I don't crave that, but I don't want to disappoint Jesus. I'd hate to give all these years working out the house of God for when it got hard and push come to shove that I'd give up and threw up my hands and failed him then. I want to go to the end. I want to continue. And friend, I want to encourage you to continue in the Word, continue in the worship, continue in the witness, and keep watching. It might be on that next cloud. He reminded us, he said, when you see all these things come to pass, lift up your head. Don't bow your head. Don't get pooch mouth. Lift up your head for your redemption. Draweth nigh. That you've waited for since you've been saved, that I've promised you, it's nigh, it's coming. Look up, look up. Watch, continue watching. He's coming again. There's not a secret or some hard formula you've got to follow to survive in these days. It's the same as it's always been. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. The last verse of our text, in all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. Continue. Continue is the admonition from this preacher and the Word of God tonight. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father, I thank you for the liberty you've given us tonight to preach. Lord, I thank you for the privilege, Lord. This is not a right, it's a privilege, and I appreciate you letting me do that. I pray, God, that you'd take what's said tonight and stir the hearts of your people. Lord, I want to see this church prosper. And Lord, we're like everybody else. We're fighting. There's some people, it's every day, they've got some kind of battle or adversity in their life. But I pray, oh God, that you'd help us just to go on for you and continue. God, continue, continue, continue. I pray you'd stir our hearts. I pray you'd just use this to affect my life. And Lord, that I'd go for you. Lord, help us not to get cold and indifferent on you in these days. Help us just to go on. Just go on. Lord, I love you tonight. Thank you, Lord. It's not a myth. Thank you, God. It's not some fairy tale, but it's real. Everything you said you'd do, you'd do. You'll do, and I bless you for that tonight. Lord, I pray you'd help each person to be obedient to you in the service tonight. In Jesus' name.